Okay, here we go. What page is it? Okay, we're at the pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. Let's try to do today three psukim. Okay, it's pasuk Yud Aleph says, Al tivtachu v'oishek uvi gozel, al tebolu chayil ki yonuv, al toshi sule. Okay, so this pasuk really stands on its own. This is a continuation. The basic gist of this pasuk is, do not be impressed when you witness people who are successful, who are financially successful. Don't be impressed with their wealth. It's a continuation to a degree of pasuk Yud. In pasuk Yud, we also mentioned the futility of having confidence in people that are rich and powerful. And here we're describing this in a little more detail. So let's see pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzudeh Stavid. Yud Aleph v'Oshek. Don't have faith. Al tiftichu v'Oshek. What's Oshek? Oshek is extortion. Oshek really truly depends on the context. Sometimes Oshek simply means gezel. And sometimes it means more what's called today, it's called extortion, which means I paid you. You come to court, this person, he stole my house. What do you mean? He gave you $2 million. The market value of your house is only worth $1 million. The bank records show that he gave you for your home $2 million. You got double. Yeah, but I didn't want to sell the house. I wasn't willing to sell the house even for $10 million. He put a gun to my head and said, if you don't go give me your house, I'm going to kill you. And in order to make it look good for the media, I'll give you $2 million. I'll give you double its market value. I don't want your money. I don't want to sell. I'm forcing you to sell it to me. That's typically how the word Oshek is used. And this fits in the topic of ethics. Technically, on paper, everything is fine and good. But when you force a person to do what he does not want to do in such a way where you can get away with it in the court of law and in the court of public opinion, but Hashem really knows what's going on, that... Exactly. Achav kerem davos, that Achav went and he wanted that field no matter what. Right. So, okay, you have to go to the whole story there. But let's see So the person who's for, right, so you give him a right, even when we received the Torah, there was a problem because Hashem forced us to be mekabel the Torah. Hashem said, if you don't accept the Torah, I'll bury you right here and right now. Mikan moedur rabbi. Okay, it's fine. Thank you very, very much. I used to write notes in this.
I got
very lazy lately, and I write my notes in another sefer in the shul, and I can't show back and forth, and I try to remember what I said, but whatever. Okay, it's good, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's good, everything is good. Okay, let's see the mitzvahs of the Oshek. Over here, the mitzvahs of the, so again, the word Oshek, it's a very vague word. It means different things in different psukim. And it generally just means it's a nice word, another word for theft, illegal activity. The Oshek, laharbos hain by Oshek, to increase wealth through Oshek, al tiftichu bahevel laharbos hain by gazel, do not go have confidence in the futility to increase your wealth through gezel. Ki lo yiskai mo'ishah, this over here is a powerful idea. The pasuk says, the money is not worth anything. Why? V'kofel hadav b'milo shonos. And over here in Rav Meir, you remind me something very, very interesting. Okay, today is the yard site. This really fits very well with what I remember in this book. The yard site of Bishayla Miketestir. In fact, there was a person that was supposed to come to the shir today. I knew he wasn't going to come. But he told me he may come to the shir today. But he begged me, please, I want to come, but I want you to talk about Bishayla Miketestir. You know Bishayla Miketestir? He's on all the billboards. They have a picture of him on all these windows. Supposedly, if you put up a picture of him, that you're not going to be infested by mice. Okay, mice are not going to frequent your home if you put up a picture of a Shia Miketestir. It's total nonsense. What? Rats. The czar. They have a czar of rats in New York City now.
What's his name?
Does he
say
it's Shia? Rabbi Shia. Rabbi Shia.
Rabbi Shia.
Rabbi Shia. Rabbi Shia. Rabbi Shia. Miketestir. The city Keresztir is a city in Hungary. It's a little shtetl in Hungary. And this Rebbe, he was a Rebbe, he took over for his Rebbe. He wasn't a blood descendant. I forgot the name of the person that he was Malam Mokim. He had a very holy Rebbe. And when that Rebbe passed away, the people accepted him. He was like the Shamish. He was basically his Rebbe's Shamish. He wasn't a son. He was of a very holy person. I don't remember all the names. To me, these names don't mean anything. No.
What's the name of the town?
Keristir. Like to steer a car. Keristir. It's a city in Hungary. There are many flights. If you wanted to go, you could have gone Mitzvah Shabbos. For enough money, they have tours. A lot of people went to his city, to Hungary, to this little shtetl in the middle of nowhere. It was destroyed during the Holocaust. It was completely obliterated. They tried to rebuild it to some degree to restore what was there before. And this time of the year, people come for Shabbos. He was a very, very holy person. There are a lot of very beautiful stories about him. Very beautiful story. I told you in this year this very bizarre maisa. Bididi Havi Uvda. In this year, I didn't really know who he was. I didn't pay any attention. To me, the whole thing, I'm not into this type of thing with Rebbes or Bali Moifsev. I'm just not into this, not my thing. And I see his picture all over the place. And I even see on some of the construction sites, they show the picture of the building that's gonna come, they show permits. They know it's part of the computer printout. There's a beautiful picture of what they're building. Everyone's seen, like, you know, they have the green big the plywood, the green fence around the construction site. And they have a big, big sign, and they have a computerized image of what they're gonna build, and the name, all the permits, and in an inset in this thing, they have his picture. I mean, come on, what kind of mishigas is this? Mishigas, the rats. So I said something in this shir very nasty. I'm not gonna tell you what I said. I said something very not nice. That day, or maybe the next day, someone comes over to me. He doesn't really. I don't have that much to do with him, and he's not the type that would give me a present. That's not the relationship I have with him. And he comes and he says, "I want to give you a present." And he gives me the biography of Rabbi Shaila Mikarastir. He gives me his biography. It was written by Rabbi Shaul Besser. Rabbi Shaul Besser he's a very famous person today. He's Art Scroll's number one man. And Mishpacha magazine is a very frequent contributor to Mishpacha magazine. He's an Einikel of the Chassam Sofer. He must have written by now at least 25 books. He's very, very, and he has a podcast, and I don't know how he does. It's just some people to me that I'm just blown away. I met him by the Aguda convention. I met him. I even filmed him. I filmed him speaking by the Aguda convention. Yisrael Besser. So he is the author of this book. It's not his. He translated it from a Hebrew book. Someone wrote a big biography about Rabbi Shaila Mikarastir. It's a thick biography. It's very dense. And he translated, you know, he was selective. It's not a full translation, but he extracted the best stuff. And he put out a very nice book. Our article did not publish it. It was published by another publisher. I don't know who published it. So this guy goes and says, "I want to give you a gift. I have the Hebrew. I don't really read English. I want to give this to you." So I took it, whatever. I sat in here in this room and I just, you know, I read a few pages. It's interesting. Before I turned around, I read the whole book. And I became a chassid. I mamish became a chassid. It made an impression on me, the book. It really did. And a lot of nice things. Today's his yahrzeit. And today there are people that go there. They go to his kever. A lot of very beautiful things about this person. A very holy person. And there's a lot to say. Maybe we'll talk later. Now, one thing that I'm reading this Rashi is that one of the things that is in this book, which over and over again, he had this talent. People gave him, he distributed an enormous amount of tzedakah. And the way it works is, where do you get the money? Where do you get money to give? People gave him. People would come to him and would talk to him, would tell them their problems, and they would give Rebbe his money. Pidyon, whatever, I don't even know. And they gave him money, 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 money. And just people came and gave him money, and he distributed all the money. Every penny. However, he had this koyach, this supernatural koyach. When someone gave him money, he was able immediately to discern where this money came from. If it was honest money, if it was kosher money. And many times, he got an enormous amount of money, and he would bury it. He would bury the money like a Beis Akisa. What's it called? A cesspool tank. He would bury it. He would bury it. Mamish buried the money because he right away was able to detect. He had a certain sense. No, that's why he was a holy person. This money, it did not come from a good source. It didn't come from a holy source. And the Mela, that's exactly what it says in this Mesudas David. I'll give this money for a purpose, for a koilel, to support a koilel. You know what they're going to end up doing the whole day in the koilel? Drinking coffee. They're going to be drinking coffee. You know why? Because the money didn't come from a good place. And then someone would give him a few dollars, give him a couple of cents, and that money he held was sacred. And you give that little donation, a little small donation to start up, to support an almana, to support Torah, whatever, it would go a long way. He had a koyach of being able to sense the source of the money, where it came from, and to appropriately direct it to a place where you'd get the bang for your buck. And there in the book, and you have to go through every story and verify the story and see where it comes from. That it certainly, because I told that person who gave the book, I told him one of the stories that I was enamored with. And he says, what? That's not the story. And he went to the Hebrew version, and the Taka says that they're different. And in the English version, it's written the same, there's another story I'm referring to. It's written a little bit different. It's the same story, for it's only one way, but the story is written with a different difference. The question is, where did Yisrael Besser write up the English story when it's not really the way it says it in the Hebrew version? Whatever it is, but the point is, he had this talent, and this is brought out in the book again and again and again. When people gave him money, he was able to sense, and you have this in the Beis HaMikdash, by Bitzal. Chazal say this explicitly. By Bitzalel, people would come to Bitzalel, who built the Mishkan. Bitzalel was not only a master craftsman, Bitzalel was a fundraiser. And when people would give Bitzalel money, he could immediately detect where the money came from and what the person's, the degree of sincerity. Is he giving the money because he really wants to participate in the Mishkan, or he's giving the money because he's being put to shame from other people who are giving large donations? And depending upon the person's sincerity and where the money came from, the gold and the material would be directed to a specific part of the Mishkan. The only one who gave gold and their gold was used to make the Kruvim were people who gave the money with the greatest degree of sincerity. People who gave the gold because they're being put to shame. So the gold was used for something, whatever, something that wasn't so, it was a donation, fine, you know, there's L'Shem Shemayim, but it wasn't used to make the Kruvim or the Menorah. It was used for something that had lesser Kedusha. That's exactly what it says over here. He knew which material to use for what. And it says, I remember one of the stories there by Shaila was people would give him a lot of money, and he used to have a whole mound. He had once on his table a mound of bills. You would say today, like an American monkey, imagine you have coming to someone's office, and you have like stacks and stacks of bills, and someone says, and someone, can you give me? And a poor man came, and he said, give me money, I'm starving. I don't have anything to give you. So he says, what do you mean I have anything to give me? You have $1 million on the table. He says, this money, it's worthless. It's not even, he says, it's not even worth to feed the animals. It's worthless. I know where this money came from. I know how it came. You think you have $1 million? It's worthless. It was all earned. Gezel, Chanifa, Averois. He had a koyach, and he was so serious, he buried it. Then they write in the book that someone found out that he was starting, that he was burying it in the Beis HaKisei, and they dug it up. There were a lot of Meshugayim then also. And the only today we have Meshugayim. There were Meshugayim back then also. So then he started to burn it. Then he started to burn it. He started to burn. It's all in the book. He started to, when people found out that what he was doing with the money that he got, he was very selective, he began to burn the money that he felt was Shaloi Kedin. This is exactly what it says here in the Mitzvah Stavon and Olam HaFarsh over here on this page over here, is don't be impressed when you see Al Tiftechu V'Heva L'Harbois Choyim B'Gozel Ki Lo Yisgayim Ho'Oysherahu. That wealth is not going to have any kiyum. The chaval hadavra bimiloshanos chayil kiyunov. The next word is chayil kiyunov. Imtiru oisher haba migozel sumeach misrabe. If you witness wealth that increases, it blossoms, and al tosimu leiv livtoyach vaoisher kazois ki loy loylam tiyah. This type of money is not going to last very long. Look at Rashi. Rashi dibber Rashi pasuk gedalef. Chayil kiyonuf imtiru rishoim she momonam matzliach. If you witness wicked people, their wealth, they're successful. Vigodel al toshisu leiv. Do not pay attention. Don't pay attention when you see wicked people being successful. Chayil momon yonuf yitzmach. The word yonuf means to blossom. Lashoin tenuva. Tenuva. Okay. Tenuva. Name of a company. Right. There's a company called Tenuva. Who owns it? Probably Kedem owns the company Tenuva. A lot of these companies are just subsidiaries of what? Nivsefasayim. Okay, the blossoming of the lips, the fruit strut. Tenuva means to blossom. Okay, now let's look at the Radak. Radak says that someone here on the page or something just elaborates upon this idea very, very much. Let's look at the Radak. Pasuk Yud Aleph Altiv Dechu Ha Ishekahu. This wealth. Hamamon shabol liad adam mechaveroi ve'enei machaziroi loy. You take, so he's calling, he's teaching here, the radak, the word oshak means you borrow money. And oshak is different than gezel. And it requires clarification. What exactly is the difference between outright theft and oshak? So here he says, you borrow money and you don't pay back. I borrow money from someone and the understanding is, I'm going to pay you back in a certain period of time. And then I just don't pay that person back. And you take that money and you use it to buy something. Nothing good will come from the purchase of an object that was, the money, the funds came from money that you borrowed with no plan on ever paying back. Let's say a service, you have an electrician, he does work for you, you owe him money, and the money you allocated to pay him, you decide, you know, I'm not going to give it to him. He's not asking me for the money, I'll just use it for something else.
You give him a check and it doesn't have a cover.
It bounces.
That's bounces.
You know, the person takes money that is dedicated for someone else, and you don't outright steal the money. You're much more clever. You borrow, you don't pay back. Someone does a service, and you don't pay them. And the money that you owe them, the hagozel, who shagozel, that what's gozel? So the radak, what that oishak is, money came into your possession legally. Gezel is when the money came into your possession illegally. Who shagozel b'choska mamon chaveru v'roiv mamon b'nei adam. Now look at this. V'roiv mamon b'nei adam. This is saying shocking words over here. Most money that a person possesses came into their possession one of two ways. Either they outright stole it, or they borrowed it and they never paid it back. And that's I didn't make this up. V'roiv mamon b'nei adam yesh boy min hadrachim ho'ele. One of these two things. Stolen, you know what goes on in some of these companies, these law firms? They do double billing. There's all these legal tricks will go on. Oh yeah, they have hours, they make up baloney hours, or let's say they have two clients They have two. What's the ethics of doing something like this? You have two clients who need exactly the same thing. So if I had one client, I would charge. I charge $1,000 an hour. I charge $1,000 an hour to do some, fill out some form. Happens to be that I have two or three or four clients that need the exact same form. So in 1 hour, I'm able to do the work for multiple clients. I charge each one 1,000 hours. Each one I'm charging 1,000 hours. Are you allowed to do that? So some will tell you, why not, right? Why not? Okay, it all depends. He writes here that this type of money that has come into a person illegally or unethically has no hamada. It's not going to endure. Therefore, don't have confidence in it. That the person will be safe from tsaru. You see sometimes, like, you know, there's what I'm saying over here could be total nonsense because there are so many different reasons. You go, there's a big storm, and most of the property on this certain location is destroyed, totally wiped out. And there's one house, or there's one structure, nothing happened. And al pidera chateva doesn't make sense. Why should this be different? It's exactly the same location. It was built better. It had better nails, a better foundation. Why was this particular structure spared and everyone else, all of the surrounding buildings or surrounding areas were devastated in a natural disaster? You wonder, who paid?
You don't know,
right? You don't know. There are so many variables. But the Radak and all the Rishonim over here are telling you a principle, and we have to have a moon is, that if the money that is earned and is used to purchase something is not honest, it's not ethical, then what you're coming to build with that money will not have a kiyum. It will be short-lived. It's not going to endure. This is a very big dilemma in fundraising. Okay, today the whole thing is totally not nogea. Today, because even there's so many teshuvas on this, we always speak about this, is when yeshivas do fundraising, you ask a question, where did the money come from? No one asks questions. If I was a fundraiser, I wouldn't ask any questions. When you have a budget and you have enormous pressure, the pressure is beyond belief, you don't ask questions. Where did the money come from? You know, this guy gives me money. Oh, you know, he has a reputation that, you know, the money is not such kosher money. Or let's say the money is kosher money, but it comes from an industry that's not something we're proud of. Let's say if a movie star. Everyone knows the famous story with Barbara Streisand.
It's not true.
It's not a true story? Okay.
I
spoke to Rabbi Mandel himself. It's not true.
Okay, right? Scratch that. But there are definitely, there are certain people that are involved in certain industries, and you can use your imagination.
It's not true.
The story is not true. There are definitely industries that we're not proud of. There are certain industries in this world you can use your imagination that we're not proud of. It's not the Torah way to be involved in these type of industries. And there are some people that are very successful in these industries and they're making an enormous amount of money and they give, they're very generous. They come to a yeshiva and they want to give yeshiva an enormous amount of money. Believe me, every yeshiva will take it. Okay.
Well, because you take the money, now you make good for the money.
And there are teshuvas. Rav Moshe has a lot of teshuvas upon this, all these teshuvas. And it's, in 99% of the cases, it's mutter. Oh, so you're saying very good. You're hitting upon where does it really come? Esnan zayin lecher kev. You're really saying very, very good. Esnan zayin. That's mamash the makor for all this. Esnan zayin is a man lives with a zayina. And she charges a fee, a service fee, and he gives her an animal, not money. If he gives her money, then she can buy an animal. If the man would pay the woman cash, and she would take the cash and go and buy an animal and bring the animal to the Beis HaMikdash, it's okay. They will offer that animal on the Mizbeach. But if a man pays a woman for her services by giving her an animal, and she takes that animal to offer as a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, it is rejected. In Mechir Ke'alev, you have a dog, and you exchange, bartering. You don't sell. If you sell the dog for cash, and you take the cash and you buy an animal, it's fine. But if you barter, exchange a dog for a sheep, that sheep is disqualified to go on the Mizbeach. Because you see the Torah reveals that there is a sensitivity. Where did the money, where did the animal come from? Now, if you want to go on a higher level, you'll say, Me'ikar Hadin. There's no question that if you pay a woman for znus, money, cash, and then that woman gives cash to a yeshiva, according to the letter of the law, it's mutter. It's if it's good for a karban, so certainly it's good to go support a yeshiva. However, there are many things that, although technically it's mutter, minat Torah, it just doesn't go off well, right? It does. Certainly in today's day and age, when you'll be in the newspaper the next day, when you'll be on the Daily News or on the Post, they'll say, oh, this yeshiva is supported by some type of, where does the money come from?
That's the problem.
That's not the only problem. They're right. That's not the only problem.
Because if it was done totally anonymous, without anybody knowing.
So you try to do that. So they get into a lot of trouble, these yeshivas, because they launder the money. Mm-hmm. Give the money. Don't give the money to us. Give the money to this, and then they'll give the money to us. And they try to kosher it from the media, from the public opinion, by doing it in these
money
ugly ways.
Money is fungible. If you get $100 from somebody, even if he got it from someone, he could always exchange it for another $100.
It doesn't have to be that. Okay, so that's why technically it is permitted. However, we all.
What about the exact all these people? They do a bearish. But this they do in the mitzvah. I mean, you're betting them from doing mitzvahs.
Technically, it's mutter. But the bottom line is, a person, it's not a good feeling to know. It's not a good feeling to know that the money that you are using to support your children and to support yeshivas and Torah institutions is coming from a source, at the end of the day, that is not kosher. Now, many times, you don't have a choice. Many times, that's just the way the world is. And it's done every single day. But obviously, if you do have a choice, you do have a choice of what kind of profession you want to go into or where you take the money from. You know, it's something very disturbing. Let's say you have a yeshiva. The yeshiva is doing fine. Everything is good. They have enough to get by. Everything is fine. Someone comes to them who is involved in a very, very dirty business. But it's all legal. Everything is on the books. But it's a shameful type of parnasa, and he says, "I want to build for you a new building. I'm going to build for the yeshiva a brand new building, and you know what? You don't even have to put my name on it." And the yeshiva is getting by. Yeshiva doesn't need it. The yeshiva would be nice to have a new building, clean floors, no rodents. You know, it would be very, very nice. And here, I'm going to pay for everything, but you know, this is shady money, and it's legal. The government gave its haskam. The government said we have much bigger crooks in this country to worry about. The government said it's okay. Everything is on the books. And in the media, you're going to get away with it. The media, they're not going to figure this out. You're confident in that. But you're the Rosh Hashiva. You are the Rosh Hashiva. You can have this magnificent building, magnificent, beautiful building, and the money is coming from an institution of Zoynos in Russia, that they do the biggest averis. But it's legal. Everything is legal. It's kosher v'yashar. Are you to expect that this money is going to produce talmidim that are yureim ushleimim? So this pasuk tells you it's not. Halacha l'maisa, what's going to happen today in the 21st century? They're going to take the money and they're going to build a building. That's what's going to happen because that's the way it is. But this pasuk tells you, you know, in an ideal world, a pure world, you don't do this. You don't do this. It's hard to swallow, okay? It's hard. Go look at the ads. Today, they're more careful. You go look at some journals of some, if you can get a hold of them, some old, you may have in your house and buried in the basement somewhere, journals, yeshiva journals from many, many years ago, and you look at some of the advertisements, some of the ads, you may notice HBO. You may notice some ads from very geisha companies who promote.
Disney money.
They wouldn't do it today. Today they wouldn't do it today. But years ago, not like Chaim, not like Chaim, but every yeshiva.
I'm just saying,
yeah.
And my fault, a good parent, a good everything, he had a business. He was a doctor, his wife was a therapist, but they did couple counseling for whatever. And it was in the air. Relation. And I put the card in because I automatically put the business card. Boy, did I get it. After that, I was allowed the following year's journal. We said, listen, doctor.
We'll take your money.
But we can't put the
card in. Legitimate business. People need this. It's not something that the public opinion is not going to accept. Okay, but even if it's good, you see, I don't know, a lot of things are very important. We're talking about money that's shady money. Things that are not kosher, things in Torah, it's not. This is something which always, always comes up. And the end of the day it's always mutter. It's always, like someone asked me a shayla, a chassan and kala, it's a very modern, from a much more modern, very modern background. They're coming, they're gonna be here for Shabbos, And so I'm not a poisek, I'm not nothing. And is it mutter that both the chosn and the kala can stay in the same house in different rooms? So I told him, listen, I don't know why you're asking me. I'm not a poisek. Go ask a rabbi. All I can tell you is I'm willing to bet you that technically it's mutter. Technically. Why? You have a house. There's no yichud. There are many people in the house. And he told me they want to put they have two rooms in the basement. Chosin in one room, kala. And if that, not that, they'll put the chosin upstairs, one up, one down. So I said, listen, I don't know, I'm not a poysek, yes, a rabbi. All I can tell you is it's very likely that technically, when push comes to shove, it's 100% mutter. But
by chassidim, they have in the supermarket, chosin alert, because if the kala is in there, he doesn't.
That's right.
Under the same roof, they don't.
These are very modern, very, very modern
under the same
people.
Roof.
But you know, it's really not a good idea. It's not a good idea. And especially in this neighborhood, maybe, you know, we'll go out of town, you know, we'll go out of town, maybe there, you know, you'll get away with it. In this neighborhood, someone finds out, it's not going to go off well. What do you need this for? What are you looking for trouble? Yeah, it's mutter. There are a million things that are mutter. Everything is mutter. But you know, have some seichel. What do you need to get yourself involved in this for? Here also, money is delicious, delicious. Who doesn't like money? Do people stop and ask the question, where did this money come from? Oh, I happened to rip off the government. I happened to go. I know how to beat the system. I know how to go and milk out the government. Really, am I entitled to this money? No way. I hid my money from the government in order that I should be eligible for all these crazy benefits and just milk out the government. And listen, why am I different? Look at all these other people. Everyone is doing it. Look at the whole part. The government is spending money like a fire hydrant. So why can't I benefit? You can. You know, the answer is you're an Orthodox Jew. You have to answer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're different. That's right. Just because all the goyim do it, just because everyone else does it, I mean, you have to have a balance. You know, everything has to be. Every situation is different, obviously. But when it comes to things, people that are totally outrageous, crazy. Fraud. Or you'll say you have a very skillful lawyer, an accountant, that's able to manipulate things and stuff. Like, you know, the accountant, go to have your taxes done. Okay, question. How much do you want to get back this year? Just, you know, the bottom of the tax return. What do you want to get back this year, the refund? I can use $5,000. Okay, $5,000. We'll work it backwards. You'll be sitting in jail, right? You're sitting in jail. But some people, they do these crazy things. And then, $5,000 donation. Excuse me, you really think that that money is going to bring siyata d'shmaya? Rav Shaila Mikerestir, today is his yahrzeit. This is one of his legacies. These type of stories again in the book, again and again appear in the book. He had this, you know, every Rebbe, they don't have these Rebbes today, they have these Koiches. But in previous generations, not even so long, he didn't die all that long ago. He died, I think he died before. 1949 he died?
Yeah.
After World War.
29 or 49?
29.
Oh, 29, I thought you said 29. Okay, so not all that long ago, 1929, he had a Koich. This was one of his unique Koiches that he had. You gave him money, he was right away, it's supernatural. They don't have people like this today that have this sanctity. Right away he was able to discern, to detect his neshama, the harichoi b'yiras Hashem, how much of this money was earned honestly, and how much is fluff.
We're talking yahrzeit, today is Chani Amagel.
Chani Amagel?
Today also Rabbi Yosef Breuer, yahrzeit today. And your favorite, Rabbi Chaim Mordechai Chodakov.
Oh, today's yahrzeit. He's a Yekka. He's the mastermind of Chabad, of this generation. Chodakov, the Rebbe's Gabbai. The Rebbe's Gabbai. They said the Rebbe was afraid of him. That's what they say. Is it true or not? He controlled Lubavitch. He controlled with an iron fist. He was older than the Rebbe. And he guided the Rebbe into his nesius. All right, let's go weiter. So this
I
is...
I want to say one thing. I remember hearing that Rav Kutner, in the very beginning, in the early years, he would never take any money from an intermarried.
Intermarried, someone who's intermarried.
In those days, obviously not more recent, but in those days, earliest time of
everything is different. Every story.
Then Polish didn't marry Hungarian.
Every story, you can't generalize. You can't generalize these type of stories. Every single situation is unique, but the principle is always true. And that's what it says here in this passage. Don't be impressed. You see, Al Tivtuchu V'Oishek V'Gozel Al Tebolu Al Tebolu. Don't. Period. And then it repeats itself. Don't be overwhelmed with watching people accumulate wealth. You know what? Al Tebolu Chayil Kiyonuv. Al Toshisulev. Do not pay attention. You see in this world people who are super, super rich. And you wonder, where does the money really come from? Is the money honest? Is the money not honest? Is there manipulation? You know, the more you study this type of stuff, you read these conspiracy theory channels, and you learn about people who control the world's wealth.
All the slave labor in China.
Yeah.
The companies in America make billions.
It's all the products in America. We're not such a tzaddikim over here. Every product that you have, you go see some of these videos of where they make these computers. The mamish slave labor. You see with the lithium batteries, now talking about everything, that the whole country go green. So they show what a fraud this is about how do they, you have an electric car, you have only electric cars. Every electric car needs these massive lithium batteries. Where do they get these lithium batteries? So they show, they show in these third world countries how these people, how they literally give up their life to go and to dig and to work like in the worst conditions on this earth, to go and to produce, to mine these minerals. And like, what in the world is going on? Like what's going on over here? It's horrible.
Child labor.
You have a new smartphone, okay? So a smartphone, this is not new, a smartphone has a lithium battery. How did that lithium battery get in here? They show you a video here. I will show you where it comes from. Look what's going on in this world. And then they show you the factories in Malaysia where they're assembling these things. It's like, really? And they show you what Nike, what they do with their clothing and their sneakers. So you and then these companies, they're worth billions of dollars. and they give charity and they do this and they do that. Hashem keeps cheshbon. This pasuk says it all. Al tiftechu v'oishek uv'gazel, period. Number two, al tebalu chayil kiyonuv, period. Don't be so overwhelmed. Oh wow, look at all this money when you witness wealth, when it blossoms. Al toshi sulev, don't pay attention to all of this. Where did the money come from? Where did this wealth sprout? Was it done ethically? Was it done honestly? And if the answer is no, then guess what? It's worthless. It may be in the short term you have some benefit, but it's not going to produce results. The payoffs are not going to be there. It's a very, very frightening, because we're part of the system. We're all part of the problem. America is on the top, you know, America's in the Medina Shel Chesed. But, you know, when you start digging below the surface, it's very frightening. Yeah, people will give you answers. These people, they want to do it. They have nothing. They don't have any other choices. And there are a lot of answers. But at the end of the day, it's very disheartening. It really is. And what is the solution? I got no idea. And no one has any idea what the solution is. And communism is not the solution. That's for sure. That's not the solution. That is certainly not the solution. But what is the solution? This is tough stuff. So therefore, this is what it says over here. Okay. Let's look at the list on the Radak. Al toshas lev shamud shiyamud kilo yamud vayonuv yifne. Okay, let's go further. Let's go look over here at, let's go now to the next pasuk. We are going to move along. The next pasuk says, now this is a beautiful pasuk. There are a lot of midrashim on this pasuk. Achas diber Elokim shtayim zu shamati. Ki oiz le'elokim. Okay, Hashem has spoken once, but I've heard two things. Because there is might to Hashem. Pasuk Yudgimul, Ulucho Hashem Chosed, to you Hashem is kindness. Ki ato you, Sishalem le'ish kemaseh, you will reward each man according to his deeds. Mitzud le'er megin, there are many mahalchim on these two psukim, especially the first pasuk. Let's see the mitzudos of Pasuk Yudbeis. In the mitzudos, Achas. Amira achas tibelukim emenu lamadati shnei devarim. You have spoken once, and I have learned two different lessons. Number one, ki ois ho achas lamadati asher lelukim hu ho ois, the yodoi ba'kol mashallah. You have complete control, authority, dominion over this world. And the second thing I have learned is ulucho Hashem chosed, v'ashenis lamadati mimena shehashem ois chesed im b'nei odam. Ki atos is shalem, ritzon lemar, midover hazen nishma shnei advarim. Ki ato hashem dibarta. What is the one thing that I have heard that I have learned two things? What you have said, Hashem, is asher sishalem liish kimaseyu. Uchemoshe nemar, vim telchu imi keri, violachli af ani imochem bekeri. If you will go in carry, mean if you will live a life where everything you consider to be an accident, a coincidence, nothing is midah keneged midah. If you have an attitude that Hashem, there is no hashkacha pratis, and everything that happens in this world is just a word carry means a coincidence, then Hashem says, I will treat you in that way. I will midah keneged midah. I'm not going to pay much attention to you. I'm just going to let everything in your life happen as if it was a coincidence. And if you, Hashem, did not control the world, if Hashem did not control this world, if Hashem did not have the oaths, then it would be impossible for Hashem to punish and reward a person midah kineged midah. So the first thing we're learning over here is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes and rewards midah kineged midah is an indication, is proof positive that Hashem controls the entire world. Because if Hashem did not control the entire world, it would not be in Hashem's power to reward and punish midah kineged midah. Next, and we also learn third line on the left side of the Mesudah, Shadarko Lasa is Chesed Imodam. Kizeh Shemanish Mida B'mida, Hu Chesed Godol is a very great kindness. Ki Ozyavin Ha'odam, V'yaskil Adash Loi Bo B'mikud, didn't have by accident. Ki Me Hashem Al Derech Ha'inish. V'maher Lo Shuv Mechata V'ldu Teshuva, V'chol Zeh Choyze L'mal Lomar. All this returns back to the middle of the pasuk. Mar bitochan ha'adam, what is the faith in man? Haloy toiv lachzis b'Hashem, hoil sins v'yoda b'kol mashola v'yoseh chesed. Okay, so let's review this outside. The Mitzudah stuff is saying a very complex pshat in this pasuk. Ordinarily, the Mitzudah stuff, he says things that are very simple. He tries to translate the words in the most simple form. We hear them from all the mefarshim. The Mitzudah stuff is saying a very, very deep concept. And he's telling us that you have to really read these two psukim backwards. You have to read the second pasuk first. The second pasuk is the statement of Hashem. Hashem says, "Ki ato seshalem leish kimaseyu." This is the achas. When the pasuk before says achas diber elokim, what is the achas that diber elokim? The achas asher diber elokim are the words "Ki ato seshalem leish kimaseyu." Hashem rewards and punishes a person midah keneged midah. Where did Hashem say these words? So he cites the pasuk in Bechukosai, coming up in 2 weeks. Bahar Bechukosai, 3 weeks, coming Bahar Bechukosai, coming up in the parashat Chumash Yikra, where imtelchu imi bekeri, afani elechimachim b'chamas keri. If you're going to relate to me bekeri, you're not going to pay attention to me, so I won't pay attention to you either. That is where these words come from. Ki atos sishalem leish kemaaseyu, it comes from parashas Bechukosai, mida kineged mida. Now, that's all Hashem said. That is the achas diber elokim. Along comes the pasuk, and the pasuk from this we can derive two yisoiders. We can derive, number one, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki oiz, we can derive ki oiz le'elokim, that's number one. And number two is ulucho Hashem chosed. The two things that we're going to derive are oiz and chosed. Oiz is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to reward and punish midah keneged midah is an indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the balabas. He is in full control. Number two, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that the method of reward and punishment is midah keneged midah is the ultimate chesed. Because that gives a person the ability to see the Yad Hashem. Hashem did not need to do that. If Hashem wanted, you know, today in this world, you work very hard. What do you get if you work hard? You work hard in at work, you get a bonus. You get money. The reward has nothing to do with your labor. You work hard. You work hard. You get money. You commit a crime. You go to jail. Or they give you a penalty, they give you a knas, you have to pay money. What does money have to do with what I've done? I park by a hydrant. So I put everyone in sakana. I park my car in front of a fire hydrant. So everyone's in sakana. The fire department comes, they come, and they give me a ticket. What's the ticket? You have to pay now $300. What does $300 have to do with my crime? My crime was I put everyone in sakana, and my punishment is I have to pay $300. The punishment should be that I should live in Sakana. The punishment should be that the fire department should come and should turn off all the water. they should turn off the fire hydrant in front of my home. And that way I should be nervous that in case chas v'shom, there's a fire, no one can put out the fire. What's the meaning of that in society? In the world that we live in, when a person commits a crime, there's punishment. The punishment, 99% of the time, has nothing to do with the crime. Person does a good deed, you're a good Samaritan, you get a present, you get money, you get a tax break. Okay, you get a tax break. What does the reward have to do with my good deed? Nothing. That's the world that we live in today. But by the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's much, much more sophisticated. And when he rewards and he punishes, the reward and the punishment is midah keneged midah. You do a chesed, Hashem will work it out that the chesed that you bestowed boomerangs, and you're the recipient of that same exact chesed. Hashem did not need to do that. When Hashem created this world, he could have arranged the same exact world that we live in today. You do a good deed, so Hashem will send you a bonus. Well, you'll get a bonus at work, or something else will happen. Hashem will somehow give you a reward. It was Hashem has no duty in this world to reward and punish a person midah keneged midah. Yet Hashem decided to do chesed with humanity and express reward and punishment midah keneged midah. That was not a Hashem is not obligated to do that, and He decided to do that. That is a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when it's done in such a way, it gives us the ability to see in this world the Yad Hashem. The greatest challenge in this world is to have emunah. It's hard to have emunah. It's a very difficult world, a dark world. How do you have emunah? The way you have emunah is when you see midah keneged midah. Is that not what Yisro said? Ato yodati ki godol elokim mikol. Ki gadol Hashem yikol Elohim, ki vadavar asher zadu aleihem. How did Yisrael become religious? I saw the midah keneged midah. The Egyptians declared, enacted, kol habein ha'yora tashlichuhu. Every child shall be thrown into the Nile, and I see Yamsuf, the Egyptians drowned in the Yam. Ato yodati ki godol Hashem mikol Elohim ki vadavar zodu aleihem. This is the greatest chesed in this world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives reward and punishment in the means of midah keneged midah, because it gives us the opportunity, the ability to see in a dark world the Yad Hashem. It also captures the concept that Hashem is the Baal HaBos. Because if Hashem is not the Baal HaBos, Hashem doesn't control every single detail, how can you orchestrate events in this world that a person gets midah keneged midah? So therefore, the pshat in this pasuk, according to the Mitzudos, it's really magnificent how the Mitzudos Tavit learns pshat. One thing, the only little difficulty is that the way it's broken up in the pasuk, the way, you know, it's separated by a soif pasuk, the two acts of chesed, and you have to read the pasuk backwards. Everything, the two psukim must be written backwards. And the rule, the way we read the pasuk is, Achas diber Elokim, period. Hashem has spoken once. What is the one thing that Hashem has spoken? Jump to the end of this section. The last phrase in the second pasuk. Ki ato sishalem le'ish kema'aseyu. The principle of midah keneged midah. Where do we see that in the pasuk? We see that in the pasuk where it says, "Im telchu imi keri, af ani elech imachem b'chamas keri." That's the one thing. From this one statement, now we go back to pasuk number one. Shtayim zu shamati. I'm able to derive from this two principles. Number one, if Hashem can go and do midah keneged midah, it must then be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate authority. He has total control. Ki oiz le'elokim. Number two, what's the second thing that we derive? Hashem has no obligation to punish and reward midah keneged midah. The fact that He has chosen this to be His method is a revelation. Ulecha Hashem chosed. It's a revelation that Hashem, this is a great act of kindness to conduct this world in such a beautiful midah. This is the parish of the Mitzudot Tzav. Let's see Rashi. Rashi has very different interpretation. Rashi learns more midrashic. Rashi says, Ato achas diber elokim sheshamati mitoicha shtayim umo hein ashtayim ki oiz l'cho l'shalem l'ish kima'aseyu v'yashenis ki l'cho hachesed. Okay, so far, exactly like the Mitzudos Tavit. Umeize dibor shemanum. Where did I learn this? So he, instead of Mitzudos Tavit telling us that Hashem has power and Hashem does chesed, instead of telling us that it comes from midah keneged midah, it comes from the second dibor of the Aseres HaDibros. Lo yihye lecha Elohim Acherim, do not have any gods. And what does it go on to say? Ki Hashem gets jealous. and is poiked ovoin al ovois al bonim al shileshim v'al ribeim midibur sheni shel aseres adibros shamanu mimenu shakadosh baruch hu poiked ovoin. He visits, he punishes, but v'noitzer chesed. On the one hand, Hashem punishes. On the other hand, Hashem does kindness. Shenem arboi, poikeid, avoin, avois. Hashem punishes. But it says also, he's noitzer chesed.
Also reward.
Reward, it says noitzer chesed. Hashem guards kindness.
Kindness is...
Reward.
Okay,
fine, but it's above and beyond. It's more than a reward. Fine. In lekach therefore betuach ani sheyishalim socher tov letzadikim ufuranis lerushoyim zu lamalti miyisoidoy shel Rebbe Moshe Hadarsha. So, what is Rashi Lemshan the pasuk? The achas is the second dibur of the aseres adibros. The second dibur of the aseres adibros is a very long dibur. Let's read what it says. Okay, Parshas Yitro. Vayigash, Vayerebo, Bishalach, Tzave. Nope, too far. Shuvashpatim. Ah, here we go. The second Dibur. Let's read the Dibur. Right, with Anoichi Hashem Lokecha. Okay, that's number two. Lo, it's a very long Dibur, number two. Lo ye elcha elohim achirim al panoi. Do not have idols. Lo sa selcha fesel v'chol temunu asher ba'ashamayim mimal v'asher ba'oritz mitochas v'asher ba'mayimah mitachas v'oritz. Lo yisishtacha v'elohim v'lo yisavdeim. Oh, now comes the part that we need to discuss. Ki, I'm reading from the Ten Commandments. This is the real deal. Ten Commandments. You can't get better than that. They don't have any more. Ten Commandments, somehow they disappear from all the shuls. You notice that? They used to always have Ten Commandments in the shuls. They don't have them anymore. You know why? Because it's too chomo. It's too chomo. It's too stringent. People don't want to see it. You know, you have to, you know, don't you don't have to upset me. Every time I walk into shul I have to see like sigzol, kabris vichyasimecha. Lesirtzach, letinuf, lesachmai. I mean, come on. You gotta go easy. You gotta rub it in every single day. So, you know, it's too much. Ki onoichi Hashem Elokecha kel kano. A zealous God. Poikeid, Hashem punishes. He visits. To visit in a bad way. Avoin, the sin, avois al bonim, al shileshim, the al ribeim lisone oi. Hashem will punish for four generations. But the oise chesed, when it comes to doing kindness, reward, la lofim, for 1,000 generations, lo havai ulushame mitzvosai. This is the achas. It's one dibur. One dibur has a lot of words. They only show you on the Lucha is two words, lo yihye. But it says a lot more. It says Hashem punishes for four generations and gives reward for 1,000 generations. So the achas is the second dibur. And we learn from the second dibur two principles. Number one, we learn ki ois leilokim. According to Rashi, from the Yisoidoi Shel Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, Elokim is Midas Hadin, and Oz is punishment. The Ribboino Shel Olam will punish harshly for four generations. And then when it says, Ulucho Hashem Chosed, Ki Atos Yishalem Le'ish Kimaseyu Chosed, that's where it says, Noitzer Chesed Lo Alofim. So the Achas is the second Dibur, and in the second Dibur, there are two statements. Okay, so Rashi, you know, it's interesting. If you would switch Rashi and the Mitzudos, if you would not know who said what would you say? You would say for sure, I would say for sure, that the Aseres HaDibros would be what the Mitzudos David would say. And And the deeper pshat that Hashem said mida keneged mida, one statement. And from that one statement, we can derive two concepts. That's a more profound type of pshat that you would think would be found in Rashi. But it's just the opposite. Rashi says the very simple pshat, the one statement is the dibur, the second dibur, which has multiple words, multiple sentences. Like it's a very common thing people say, the Ten Commandments. It's ridiculous. No Ten Commandments. There are more like 20 commandments. There are 10 statements. There are 10 diburim. In each dibur, in some of them, there are multiple commandments. In the second dibur, there are multiple commandments. There are multiple statements in the second dibur. So in the second dibur, we're picking up on two of the statements, reward and punishment. So achas, one statement is the second, and we derive two things. According to the Mitzudis David, no. Nothing to do with the Aseres HaDibros. It has to do with the Pasuk in Parashas Bichul Kosai. Im telchu imi bikeri. You want to go and look at the Ribbono Shel Olam as just a coincidence. Af ani elech imachem b'chamas keri. I'm going to treat you mida keneged mida. That's the achas. From that principle, we can now derive two concepts. Number one, Hashem has complete control. Otherwise, there could not be mida keneged mida. Number two, it's a very great kindness for Hashem to judge us with mida keneged mida, because if we're willing to open up our eyes and pay attention, we can then see the Yad Hashem, and it can easily enhance our emuna. Now, Rashi goes further. Another pshat. Very simple pshat. Everyone knows this. The dibur echad is Zohar es yoim hashabbos lekadeshoy, or shomor es yoim hashabbos. Which was it? There's the luchos rishonois and the luchos shniois. In the first luchos it says zohar, in the second luchos it says shomor. What is it? Which one is it? So what did Chazal say?
Both.
Hashem said one statement, and we heard both. We heard both, and we break it up. And the Luchos Rishonos, so it's broken up to show this principle. It says Zohar, and the Luchos Shniyos says, but really Hashem only said one statement. Hashem can do what a human being cannot do. The Ribbono Ki Loi Machshavoy Sai Machshavoy Sechem Loi Darchechem Derechai. Hashem is above and beyond. That's what it means. The commandment of Shabbos was Achas, and in that one Dibur, two statements were Zohar and Shomar. Okay, next, Rashi, that's it. Next Rashi, Ulucho Hashem Chosed, Umahu HaChesed, what is the Chesed? Ki atos tishalem l'ish ke ma'asei, v'loi ma'asei mamish, ela miktsosoi ki minyan shenemar, ki ato Elokeinu chosachta l'mata me'avoneinu, you have denied us a little bit less than our sin. Kach nidrash vagodas tilim. So he's saying over here is ki atas sham leish kim maaseh. Beautiful pshat. Hashem never fully punishes us. Hashem always lets us get away with a little bit. Hashem's the chesed is Hashem never gives us what we really deserve. We really deserve a lot worse. Like the Shbaruch who has rachmanis upon us, he gives us. A little bit less elam miktsasay. You know, they say about a person miktsas shvach befanav. This is a little bit off the topic, but you say miktsas shvach befanav the kuloi shloi befanav. So what does the Velt say? Miktsas shvach in front of the person. You say half. Right? Noyach is tzadik tamim hoya b'day raisav. Ki tzadik, you're tzadik. And then another pasuk says that noyach. Ki tzaddik, you're a tzaddik in my presence. So what is Rashi? How come when in the beginning of the parasha it says it's the noyach is tzaddik tamim, a tzaddik, and he was tamim. And when Hashem is speaking directly to noyach, it says you're a tzaddik. What happened to the word tamim? Where did tamim disappear? So what is the answer? When you speak, when the person is present, you don't want him to get a little, inflated. You don't want to have to buy a new hat. You know, his head gets swollen. That's why some people don't wear hats, because their hats, their heads are swollen. The hat can't fit on their head. Okay, so you only say b'fanav, miksa shvachoy b'fanav. When Noach was present, Hashem said tzaddik. When Noach was not present, Hashem said tzaddik tomim. So the Veld says, half. In the tzaddik's present, you only say half. When it's not present, you say it all. That's not what it means. When the tzaddik is present, you say miktsas. Miktsas does not mean half. Miktsas means a little bit. Just a mashu. A mashu. Less than 1%. Not 50%. How do you know that? Because the word tamim is the word tzaddik, and the word tamim. If you were to able to put these words on, measure them on a scale of 1 to 10, tzaddik, somehow make believe, in the land of fantasy, measure the level of compliment tzaddik and the word tamim on a scale. Use measurements 1 to 10. How much pain are you in now? Tell me, from 1 to 10, how much pain are you in now? Right. So put 1 to 10 on tzaddik. Tzaddik would be a fraction of 1%. Tamim would be a 10 plus. The word tamim is such a powerful word. We don't appreciate this. Tam means you're complete. You're complete. You're like perfect. There's nothing more for you to do in this world. Tzaddik, you're righteous. Okay, you're righteous. That's just one element. Are you Yoreh Shemayim? Are you humble? Are you kindness? Tzaddik means you're just. Tzaddik is one midah of many, many midahs. It doesn't speak about the person entirely. He's a tzaddik. But you know, he's not really so good looking. Do a shirach, right? Yes, a resume. Do you know this boy? Oh, this boy is a tzaddik. The boy shows up, takes out the girl. The boy is ugly as sin. The boy is either 20 feet tall or he's a midget. And the boy is very arrogant. Very, very arrogant. Extremely arrogant. And the boy doesn't really have that much Yiras Shemayim either. So you go back to you told me the boy is a tzaddik. Yeah. Do you know what he does? Do you know how medactic he is in business? In business, there's no one more honest than him. I'm his accountant. I do his tax return. Do you know how scrupulously, squeaky clean, honest he is? He doesn't want to get caught by the IRS. But from the Ribbono Shel Olam, he doesn't really care. He's a tzaddik. I can show you the mohidah. You know what he does? He goes, he takes in people that are deathly ill. He takes them in. He goes and he takes care of them. I didn't tell you that he's humble. He's not exactly very humble, but he's a tzaddik. He does acts of kindness. There are people that do acts of kindness, and they demand that their name be in the newspaper every single day. They should get recognition for their acts of kindness. Kindness is, tzaddik is not necessarily everything. A tzaddik is a certain dimension. We today, in our vernacular, we like to use the word tzaddik. Oh, it's like, you know, alts. Doesn't necessarily mean that in the Torah. The word tamim means he got it all. He got it all. Tamim means when Hashem says you're tamim, you're complete. You got everything. Everything. You name it. You got it all. So go back to our question. If you were to put on a scale, on a measuring, in a scientific method, on a scale of 1 to 10, give me a mark for the word tzaddik as far as the degree of compliment. That's a 1. The word tamim, 10 plus. So now, when Hashem is speaking to Noach, Hashem says, Noach, you're a tzaddik. When Noach is not present, Hashem says about Noach, Noach is a tzaddik tamim. So from here we learn that b'fanav, you say miktsa shvachai. So the Welt says, mixas means there are two words, tzaddik tamim. You say 50% of his praise. It's not what it means. Bifonov means you say a mashu. If the person that you want to praise is present, just a little bit. Don't try to say 50%. When he's not present, go to town. Try to express all of his milas. Miksa shvachoy bifonov does not mean 50%. Miksa shvachoy bifonov means a mashuhu of his shevach. Take that idea and see if you can use that in this pasuk in order to save us. It says here, lulucho Hashem chosed. What is your kindness? Ki ata seshalem leish ki maasehu. When a person does an avera, Hashem only gives ki. Why is there a chaf? Rashi, miktsas. So what is miktsas? So if you learn it means 50%, or you're in a lot of trouble, Hashem only gives a small amount of the punishment. Rashi, v'loy maaseh mamish, ela miktsasai. Miktsasai, ki maaseh. So here, do you want the word ki maaseh with you? In this Rashi, what would you prefer it means? Miksas means 50%, or would you prefer it means only a teeny fraction? There's no one here that would not opt for it meaning a teeny fraction. Because if a person does an avera, so really you deserve 100% punishment. All right, I'll give you miksas. What's miksas? So Rashi stells on, so it seems not. It seems that Rashi says, L'cha Hashem chosed, period. And that's good. And now ki atos esham liish kemaseh, that's on ra, that's on punishment, That's how Rashi learns, according to this interpretation. Umar chesed, ki atos esham liish kemaseh, v'loim maseh mamosh, ela miktsasai kinyish nemar, ki atos lukhin chosachta, you have withheld, lemata me avoineinu, you have not given us the full dosage. Kach nidrash ba'agodas tilim, someone learned that it's not two separate things. This is what you were saying, Dr. Dov, that it's really one statement. It's one statement. That what is the chosed? The chesed is that you don't fully punish us. That you give us less than what we deserve. All right, so that is Rashi. Rashi, we learned today over here in this pasuk, three perushim. There is more, which we'll have to finish up tomorrow. Take a short break.
You covered Rabbi Shaya. I have some cake and gravy. Yeah. 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 Yeah.